It's time for another great episode of the Ringside Rant with your host from the hills of West Virginia, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, this is RJ.
Today's episode is sponsored by Relief Factor. Pain from everyday living, exercise, or just getting older is one of the leading causes of trips to the doctor and sleepless nights. It interferes with daily activities and can even keep us from spending time with the people we love. If you have everyday pain, it stands to reason you need something you can feel comfortable with taking every single day. That's why doctors invented 100% drug-free Relief Factor. Now, tens of thousands of customers are using Relief Factor every day to become mostly or completely pain-free. 100% drug-free Relief Factor features four key ingredients that each work on different levels to support your body's natural healing processes to respond to pain and inflammation. Now you can try Relief Factor 2. The three-week quick start retail price of almost $70 is now available to our listeners for just $19.95. Head to the link that is in our show notes to find out more. Start your journey to better health and less pain today with Relief Factor. It's Friday. It is 9 a.m. You know what that means. The Ringside Rant is back at you for yet another great episode. My partner in crime, my jelly to my peanut butter, he's JD, Justin Davis. He is in the flesh this week. He is not Macho Man this week. He had like a bipolar incident there.
Yeah, I'm back to normal.
Well, whatever normal is.
Yeah. Whatever that is. Excited for the show today. Definitely one of my favorite topics, so can't wait to get into it.
Yeah, we're going to be remembering Owen Hart. Unfortunately, he passed away 22 years ago this past Sunday. It's hard to believe 22 years ago, Justin. It just felt like yesterday that we lost him. I got in back in about 99-2000. Back again, at least to the WWF. I was watching WCW. Religiously as far as Nitro goes. It was one of those dark days, and still is one of those dark days in professional wrestling. The day that Owen Hart passed away, he's always going to be remembered, Justin. I know you're a big fan. I think there isn't really anybody that's not a fan of Owen Hart that I know of anyways. I don't know about you.
No. He's pretty revered in wrestling royalty nowadays. I think everyone looks back with fondness at Owen Hart. Mm-hmm. I was there, or I wasn't there, but I was watching the pay-per-view when it happened. Definitely me being a Hart Foundation mark, I was devastated, and I remember crying. I was a freshman in high school. Just terrible, terrible thing and terrible event, but we are here to celebrate the life of Owen Hart, which there's definitely a lot to celebrate.
Yeah, there definitely is. He is the youngest of 12 children. So that goes to show you that, you know, everybody loves the baby in the family. Obviously, I'm the oldest, so I don't really know that too well. And my son is the only child, so I can't really relate to that either. So it is what it is. Let's send it up to the ring with Mr. Rich Palladino.
Ringside Rant fans, it's the opening contest.
Gotta tell you, I cannot believe what I just saw, Owen. Please tell me why. Why this despicable act?
Why what?
I don't understand.
You wanna know why? Bret Hart, you're nothing but a selfish person. I went in there in a tag team match for the biggest match of my life. It was a dream come true. I thought I had the best partner in the world, my own brother. But you're too selfish, like I've said all along. Your ego is too big. You only worry about yourself, Brett.
Bro,
you don't care about me.
Unbelievable, in front of your entire family.
I don't care about anybody. I was concerned about myself and my whole family. The biggest opportunity in my life. I had a chance, Brett, and you stripped it away from me. You took it away from me, Brett. because you're too selfish. All you had to do was just tag me. My hand was there. Just tag me. I knew your leg was bad. I was aware of that. Just tag me. But you're too selfish. You just want to put your sharpshooter on. I could have won the match. I don't need you with a bad leg doing it. Brett, you're too damn selfish. And that's why you're sitting there with a bad leg. And that's why I kicked your leg out of your leg.
Owen, let me ask you something. You've obviously cost Brett a shot at the championship. There's no way he's going to be able to compete in the Royal Rumble match coming up tonight. Don't you think that was selfish on your part?
There's no selfishness in me. There's not a selfish bone in my body. He cost himself the WWE Tag Team belt, and he cost me, his little brother, a guy that's never had the taste of a WWE belt before. He's done it before. He doesn't care about me. He just worries about himself. I don't care about you in the Royal Rumble, Brett, because this is my opportunity. I'm in it too. I'm not worried about you getting cost the WWE belt. I'm worried about myself, and I'm going to get that belt because I didn't get a chance to win the tag belts because of you, but I can count on myself, and I'll take the WWE belt. I'll win that Royal Rumble.
All right, thanks for that, Rich. And I wanted to pay homage to his great promo that he did there from, I believe that was Survivor Series 94, right, Justin?
I think so. When I kicked his leg out of his leg.
I still, to this day, I don't know if that was actually, I don't think in 94 anything was really scripted, but no. Or whether that was, you know, just ad-libbing or going in the cuff or calling in the ring, so to speak. But he, like you said, he's the youngest of 12 children. He comes from a very historic and monumental family, the Hart family. We'll get into that, obviously, a little bit later with Stu Hart. Meh, get the Rhino. That's the worst Stu Hart impression that you'll ever hear, folks. I'll tell you that. Right. I don't do impressions very well, so that's where Justin comes in. But I think one of his biggest accolades that we did see from him was in 94. I think 94 was his year, Justin.
It was his breakout year for sure.
Stand me if I'm corrected, but King of the Ring in 94, WrestleMania 10, that should have main evented, to be honest with you. Could have main evented outside of obviously the title match. But that was the year that Brett and Luger won the Royal Rumble, so you kind of lost the luster, excuse me, in that. But King of the Ring 94, SummerSlam 94, cage match, we'll get into that a little bit later as well, but cage match against his brother for the title. That was one of the better rivalries of that year of 94 was the Hart versus Hart, brother versus brother. And to me anyways, that's what really put him on the map. Like you said, it was his breakout year.
Yeah. And him turning heel was perfect for him because it gave him that opportunity to not get stuck in Brett's shadow, so to speak. And, you know, not only in storyline, but also, you know, in real life, because, you know, if he stays a baby face, probably not going to have near the year 1994 that we have as we got with heel Owen, which was amazing. You know, I loved it when he got his mom to throw in the towel in the Backlund match. Just all kinds of good stuff on that whole, you know, heel run against Brett.
Yeah, but also got everybody involved too. Got Stu involved. They got Helen involved. They got the rest of his family, the rest of his brothers
Jim
and
Neidhart.
His sister, and Jim Neidhart involved, and Davey Boy too. And that was even more. You got matches outside of that. You got the match with Davey for the IC. I believe it was the IC, right?
They had a match in 97. I think that was for the championship of the European title. On
European.
Raw.
Okay. I knew it was for some. Yeah. But yeah, it was just blossomed from there. And that's what you look back on it now. And I implore everybody to do that. You don't have to sit there and watch every single Owen Hart match. It's a good idea because they're great matches, but go back and watch. I saw one the other day doing research for the show was with Owen Hart and Jushin Thunder Liger in New Japan. I believe it was 91.
Yeah, it was.
And I totally forgot about that. I'm like, holy crap, that was a great match. Because everybody always remembers his stuff in the WWF, obviously. And they kind of forget that he went over to Japan after he left in, I believe.
And he had a short little stint in WCW.
Very short, very short.
Yeah.
Which I think that worked out for the best anyways, for everybody involved. But no, he returned over there in 91 in Mexico, in Japan, worked a little bit in Germany. So he went overseas. You don't see that now where people will, okay, go overseas first. Then they'll come over, work for one of the major promotions, whether it be a la WWF, WCW, whatever. Obviously be WWE. We know the promotions now, so we don't have to get into that. But my big thing is, do you think that he should have came in when he first debuted in 88? Do you think that he should have came in as himself instead of the Blue Blazer?
Yeah, you could have, but I don't know if that would have got over. Just, you know, Owen Hart coming in just as Owen Hart, Brett's little brother. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that it at the time, you know, Bruce was opening up that box of gimmicks and everyone had to have one. And that's what he got stuck with, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Well, but I think whether it – he was the best wrestler in the world or whether he wasn't, he was always going to have that label as Bret Hart's little brother, no matter where he was going to go, unfortunately. But he certainly outworked his shadow and not outworked Bret by any means, but outworked everybody's expectations of him. Obviously it got cut too short and excuse me. Oh, you know, we play that what could have been thing. But it's just unreal to think about it at this point.
Yeah. You know, I look at him as good of a worker as his brother, Brett. And that's really hard to get to considering I think Brett's one of the best that's ever lived. And Owen was right there. Owen could work as good as anybody in the business at the time. And, you know, he could do things off the ropes and backflips and stuff that Brett didn't do.
Mm. And that was even for that revolutionary for that time in the late 80s, early 90s. Nobody was really doing it in the States. We had a lot of the luchadores in Mexico and overseas, but nobody was really doing it at all in WWF or NWA or the territories or whatever, but he came in, obviously, like we said, as a Blue Blazer 88, shortly after WrestleMania 5. Like I said, he left and took the gimmick with him. He returned to Stampede up in Calgary to his father's promotion there. But I always go back and say, man, what could have been with this whole thing that, if he came into this himself, it may not have gotten over, but I still think that it would have gotten over to the fact where, okay, it's a Hart kid.
Yeah.
So I think it still would have gotten over a little bit, but not to the point that it did later on, obviously. But after he went to, he left New Japan, went to Germany, worked with Catch Wrestling Association, CWA. And then he parted ways with them again. And they came back and formed High Energy with Coco Beware, which if this wasn't a case of one of these things is not like the other, I don't know what the hell is. Nothing against Coco personally. He wasn't my at this time. It was the gimmick era. And he was that guy. He had the stupid bird. And
yeah, I kind of liked High Energy. I was into him as a kid.
Well, but it's like, I think it was for the kids. It wasn't obviously for the adults that were watching it at this time. And I just didn't like it. I don't know what it was. It just didn't do it for me.
Then he started the New Heart Foundation, right? With Neidhart.
The New Heart Foundation. Yeah. With Neidhart. Was it Neidhart? Or was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then later on, it was with Davey Boy.
But anytime you put new in front of something, it sucks.
Yeah. New Rockers, New Blackjacks.
Yeah.
Was it the New Midnight Express, New Rock and Roll, whatever the hell it is. We could go on and on. There's a whole nother episode. All the new stuff that sucks. I'm sure that would pop the ratings.
But not Stephen P. New. He does not suck.
Oh, wait. I got a cease and desist order. Hold on. I'll be right back. So you mentioned the Heart Foundation, the New Heart Foundation. Obviously, we get a little bit farther into 96, 97. We start to see him work a lot more with Davey Boy's brother-in-law. I think I was a bigger fan of Davey Boy and Owen than I was of Owen and Neidhart. Just because I always think Heart Foundation, I think of Neidhart, I always think of Brett. I don't think of Owen.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked well together. All of them worked well together, period. There's no question about that. But I just think that Davey and Owen just gelled better. They had the chemistry better than him and Neidhart, but where Neidhart had more chemistry with Hart or Bret Hart. So what were you liking at this time? Did you like the Bret and Bret Neidhart or the Owen and Neidhart? Yeah.
Bret Neidhart. I mean, that's always the originals, the best, you know, and they're definitely in my top three tag teams ever. So I would have to go there. But I did love Owen and Davey together later on. They were just fun. Like, they were always cheating, but they just acted like they were having fun at cheating all the time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Now, did you think that Owen Hart made the Hart Foundation? Not like came up with it. I don't mean it by that. Do you think he was more of the centerpiece than Brett?
What I would consider him is he was like the Arn of the group. You know, he kind of slid into that role where Brett would have been like the flair. Owen was like the Arn, kind of the protector.
Yeah. Actually, I think that is Bret Hart texting you right now to say, Hey brother, don't be talking shit about me. But I think everybody that grew up watching the Hart family always put Brett one, Owen two. And that's fine. Justly they do that, but I just think that they're more close than a lot of people give them credit for as far as working ability, in-ring ability. I think Owen had the edge on the promo skill of it. So I really think that would have set him apart from all of that.
I don't know. I like Brett's promos better, especially his 97 promos are fire when he was a heel.
Now, we obviously later on, too, we saw when, you know, Davey left the company, we saw him start tagging with Jeff Jarrett. Ain't he great? Did you obviously came to quite a screeching halt, obviously, but did you like the chemistry that they had even? Because obviously, I think Owen works so well with others. That's why he was known for being a tag team wrestler.
Yeah, I enjoyed that tag team too. I really did. I was always more of a fan, probably, than most people are, of Jeff Jarrett. I liked his work. But I liked them together. I thought it was cool. You know, two second generation guys. you know, both of them have been Intercontinental Champion and Tag Team Champion, I think. So it was a good combo, I felt like.
Yeah, it was one of the things I always thought about doing, obviously doing my research here too. It's like one of those things that you start to see them make some sort of a faction out of it too. They could be like a second generation stable, something like that. You get like not at this time. You could get Perfect coming over, Henning come over.
One thing I hated about what they did with Owen after Brett left, like he came back and attacked Sean like out of the crowd, like when he hadn't been there.
Owen did yeah. You mean, or Brett?
Owen did. Okay. Like after Brett had left, after the Montreal thing, Owen took, I don't know how many months off, but he came running through the crowd to start beating up Shawn Michaels. And I thought they were going to have a great feud, and it just never really got there. But they had all the smoke and fire to create a fire feud there between those two, with the hatred Owen had for Shawn about, you know, Brett's situation. I think you could have put Owen into the main event thing there with Sean for a while.
Yeah.
But they were going Steve Sean for WrestleMania, so that's what, you know, chilled water on that, I think.
Yeah. Now, to close out this segment, we have to address it. I didn't really want to get too far into the weeds on this because it's been talked about to no end. But this whole conspiracy over Owen's death and Martha putting her opinions out there and not justifying anybody else's. It's always her opinion against everybody else. And going against the company, not allowing Owen to go into the Hall of Fame, not allowing them to get likeness money, I guess we could say, out of putting him in the Hall of Fame, putting him on video games or action figures or whatever. After seeing the Dark Side of the Ring last year, they did a two-part series on him, right?
I think it was.
Yeah. Anyways, after seeing that, the phenomenal job that they've done for that show, I'm kind of leaning a little bit towards Martha, but at the same time, I'm in the middle. I'll say that. Because I think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I think that it's his rightful place. But I see Martha as a grieving wife, a grieving mother that has to go home to an empty house, that has to relive it over and over and over again, opening that wound. And I think only time will tell, obviously. But I just think enough time has passed, 22 years. I don't think there's ever enough time to grieve. But I think we've gotten to that point as wrestling fans that this may not happen. It may never happen. And we have to realize that. And we have to justify that. We have to think that of Martha as a wife, his kids, that were affected by this and are affected by this. All wrestling fans have been affected by it. You, me, whomever. What are your thoughts on that? And obviously we could get into the weeds on this forever. Try not to as best as you can, but what do you think about this whole conspiracy?
Whatever Martha wants is what should be done.
Yeah.
It's just how I feel about it. I know the fans would love to have him in the Hall of Fame. It would be quite a celebration. But I also, and I would love to see it. He definitely deserves it. But if that's, you know, I can definitely understand her point, which is I don't want to reward the people that, in her mind, killed her husband. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can definitely understand that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to wrap your mind around it. One, as a wrestling fan. Two, as a father. Three, as a husband, whatever. On my end of it, obviously. Not everybody can relate the same way as I can. But I think we have to really take everything that this entails with a grain of salt, realize that there is a family grieving still, that Martha deserves whatever she wants. Like you said, whatever she wants, you should give it to her. And I'm not getting into specifics because everybody's talked about it. I don't want to talk about it. But I just think that we should, that's what we should do, man. It is really what we should do.
Yep. And, you know, I think that's where everyone is with that right now, but you know, we still have his matches and we still have, you know, thankfully we still have the cock where we can go back and watch his matches and celebrate him that way.
That's what she said. That's what she said, or he said. Mm-hmm. Anyways, to end this segment, I want to briefly touch on something. Keep it on the positive to go to the next segment. Is does Owen Hart really? Do you think he should have been heavyweight champion? Obviously, knowing it now, we know his life got cut short. Maybe it was in his future. Who knows? We don't know. Do you think he really should have been a heavyweight champion there in 94? Strike while the iron's hot?
He's at the top of my list of guys that never got a run that I would have liked to have seen, you know, get that run. To me, I think they could have, like I said, did it in 98 with Shawn Michaels. But, you know, 94, I don't know. He was still pretty new onto the scene, but hell, they were giving it to Bob Backlund back then. So why not? You know, why wouldn't you put it on Owen?
Yeah. And we saw that in 94 there with his match with Brett. I don't think that he should have done it there. Once we get to late 90s there, maybe we're going to see it if he wasn't timely passing there in 99, but that's something that we could always go back and look at and say, okay, this is something that should have happened. It probably could have happened very easily, multiple times even, because he was that talented. He was one of the greatest workers in ring.
Yeah, and he just played a brat so well. He was really good at playing the little brat. And he probably was, you know, the youngest of 78 kids, however many stewed, cooked up.
There it is.
You know, I'm sure he's used to that role, and he played it really well. You could tell he's had years of training of being the little brat.
Well, that's without question. But one guy that isn't a brat is your friend of mine, everybody's friend, Mr. Rich Palladino. So let's set it up to the ring, hit to him. Right now,
it is now time for Rants and Raves.
Woo! I did it again! And you know what?
No, you're presenting this.
You gotta be thankful, my man. Owen spent a whole year of his life promoting this crummy show.
I did it again!
Yes!
And I have nobody to thank. Once again, I did it all by my sweet little self. Two-time Slammy Award winner. I knew it. I'm a winner. I did it. Woo! Hey, Bulldog, you may have two titles, but you don't have two Slammies.
I thanks for that, Rich. And what a promo that was by Owen there at the Slammies. I don't think – what would you rather have? Would you rather have two Slammies or two titles?
I don't know. He was pretty proud of those Slammies. he made them sure seem like they were way more valuable than I think they actually were.
But probably. They're probably like spray painted so many freaking times. It wasn't even funny. So Rants and Rave this week, we are going to be doing picking one match and one rib, obviously with Owen being one of the most prolific ribbers of all time in the professional wrestling business. We're deciding to come up with our best ribs that are known. Obviously there's some out there that aren't known. So we're going to know the one, we're going to let you guys know what our favorite ones are in a little bit. So, Justin, you want to take the lead here with your favorite Owen match?
Oh, yeah. It's probably my favorite match of all time. It is, in my opinion, definitely the best opening match in WrestleMania history, and that would be WrestleMania 10, Owen Brett. Just unbelievable. Just the wrestling clinic that these two put on in this match is one of the best examples of two top workers putting on a great show that you will see. And, you know, these two obviously knew each other very well and just worked seamlessly together. I just felt like their matches were just unbelievable. But this one for me stands out as the absolute best. In my opinion, my favorite match of all time.
Now, is this one of those matches that you just go back and watch anytime and just watch it over and over again?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, is it just because of the work or is it the story or what?
Yeah, it's a little bit of it all. And then how Owen wins, which was very unexpected. Mm-hmm. And then Brett, you know, later that night wins the championship and Owen's kind of just standing out there looking at him like, that should be mine. And then that sets them up for SummerSlam.
Yeah. So that is the transition we're going to use right there with my match is the SummerSlam 94 cage match is my favorite match of Owens. And by no means am I discrediting the rest of the matches that that he's had, but these are just two of the best ones in our opinions. But this was 94, like we said, it's his year. It's his year. But it was interesting to see how Owen won, at WrestleMania 10 there. Kind of similar to what Brett did to Piper. Yeah. And I believe that was 8, correct? For the IC title?
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see how history replays itself from time to time in the wrestling business. We're seeing it now a lot with AEW and compared to a lot of the stuff that has happened in WWE. Too much people chagrin sometimes. But Owen and Brett, this, the culmination for better use, possibly, we know it wasn't, of one of the greatest rivalries of 1994, of wrestling in general. Because when you think Owen Hart, you think Bret Hart, not because they're brothers, but because of these matches, the match at WrestleMania 10, the match here, the countless matches that they've probably had in the dungeon, the matches that we don't know about that were dark matches, that were matches on Raw. It was just...
Yeah, Brett always says that. I think he said that in his book. Like, you know, our best matches weren't even on TV.
But that's the thing. When you... A lot of people have always asked, what one time frame do you want to go back to and relive? Is at your current age, going back to a certain time frame. And this was one of those years, man. At this time, I was 10 years old. You were 10 years old as well. I don't remember a lot of this time. Between this and the 80s, when Flair was starting, all those great years in the 80s, this was that. I wanted to see Owen and Brett training in the dungeon in Calgary there, in the Hart family house. And just to say, hey, this dude's going to be something someday. Brett and Owen or whoever. And it's hard to imagine that this match in SummerSlam 94 had a better lead-in story than WrestleMania 10. It was very similar. It was very close, I should say, because you still had Neidhart on Owen's side, you had Brett or
Davey
on Brett's side, and it was a family divided aspect of it. That's what they played it against.
Well, and that family's been divided for a long time in real life too.
But that was even before everything happened with Owen.
Yeah,
That was even before anything in the wrestling business happened. And it goes all the way back to the Calgary days, the Stampede days. I'm positive it does. Just the kids training, this and that, the girls married wrestlers. It was just a matter of time. But I really think that this 94 SummerSlam match really outdid the storyline, outdid the WrestleMania 10.
Yeah.
I may be way off on that. I don't know. And you
it's kind of the classic blow it off in a cage type thing that we don't usually do.
But we don't see that nowadays. That's what pisses me off. That's why I love doing all this nostalgic stuff for this show instead of doing what everybody else does and weekly WWE, AEW, Impact, New Japan, whatever. With this, you get to remember those good days when, you know, you and I were sitting in front of the TV watching Saturday Superstars in our pajamas eating a bowl of cereal or whatever. Not everybody ate cereal, but whatever. That's beside the point.
Hit me with those Fruit Loops, please.
I was never a Fruit Loops friend, man. Fruit Loops. My son, Gavin's into it. I don't know what he likes. The Fruit Loops. He likes those chocolate. What the fuck were they? The Chocula or whatever. The chocolate crap. I don't know.
Yeah.
And
what's his stance on Apple Jacks?
Oh, he's four.
Yeah, I'm four too.
But see, there's a difference though. A difference between Apple Jacks and Apple Cinnamon Cheerios. They're very Apple. They're cinnamon, but they're totally different. And I'm sure this is a lot what people want to talk about and hear when we're dealing with Owen Hart. It's a very serious conversation we're having. And we're talking about freaking cereal.
It's an important topic. But yeah, let's do our ribs because Lord knows Owen had plenty of them.
So Owen's been one of the most prolific ribbers of all time. It's proven fact, Justin. Between him and Kurt Hennig. You can't really outdo. I would love to see how they could outrib each other.
Yeah, my guess is those two probably left each other alone. They just went after everybody else.
Oh yeah, but just once. That's all I want to see. Just once. Try to have Owen rib Hennig or Hennig rib Owen just to see what happens. What they could do to get to him. But my. Excuse me. My favorite rib of all time is the one that Bret Hart talked about and mentioned during his father's Hall of Fame induction to the WWE. We know everybody knows how legitimately tough Stu was back in the 70s and 80s, before that, even when he was wrestling. So this definitely, it popped a lot of people when we heard it, was that he also mentioned his book too, right?
Yeah.
So he says WrestleMania 5, the Bret and was in Stu's hotel room. And I forgive me if I'm butchering this story, but Bret is in Stu's hotel room and the phone rings and, you know, he gets up, he answers it and it's his old friend, Reg Park.
Hey, this is Reggie.
Hey, Reg, is that you? Oh yeah. So Reg is talking. Oh, it is talk about the good old days in Calgary and working and, you know, then all of a sudden, Bret sees that Stu's getting upset, and you know,
I think Stu says, "Well, if you ever wanted to come at me, Reg, why didn't you just fucking say something?"
Well, you could hear Bret's like, you could hear Reg in the background saying, "If you didn't ever have the balls to come at me," so then Stu goes, "Nah. If I wanted to try you, I'd try you."
Yeah.
And, you know, first comes to shove, this is Owen. And Stu gets up, sits on the end of the bed and
Hangs the phone up.
Hangs the phone up first, obviously. Goes down to the end of the bench, and it was Owen. That little bastard got me. Because Owen always, it was always against the boys. But when you could rib your own father, ribs do heart. You had to do it. And that is the one that always will always pop me.
Yeah, that is a good one. Anytime you can fuck with Stu, and Owen, I'm sure, fucked with Stu nonstop, knowing him. But and speaking of someone else that's fun to fuck with, Vince McMahon. So, you know, Vince is working at the whatever arena they're in there one day, and he comes back to his office. What's that goddamn smell? And there are pigs all in his office and other barnyard animals that have then proceeded to alleviate themselves in Vince's office and then track it all around. And, you know, of course, it was, as Davey would say, it wasn't me, it was Owen.
That was the funniest thing, because we mentioned Kurt Hennig, that he never really went as far as to rib the boss, to rib his father, to rib, you know, the real legitimate badasses. Like Owen Hart gave no fucks. Everybody was fair game.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone really ever got pissed off at anything Owen did. His ribs were always pretty lighthearted.
I still want to. One of my honorable mentions was the, I forgot, was it Ahmed Johnson with his music?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that was talked about on Jeff Jarrett's podcast, new podcast. If you're not, subscribed, go subscribe. I'll shill it on here. I don't care. And just the fact that I think it was Jack Lanza that was in one of the agents at the time. And all of a sudden, the middle of the match, the sound guy at the arena goes, I think it was Arrowhead? Was it Anaheim or?
I can't remember.
Anyways, I think it was on the West Coast anyways. I think it was California somewhere. And they're like, oh, play the music. And Ahmed Johnson's music plays right off the bat in the middle of the match. God damn it. Stop the music.
Yeah.
And fucking Owen. But that's the thing. It made this time so much better that, yeah, it was a rib. Yeah, it was a joke. But it made everything a little bit easier, made everything just that much easier to go to work every day.
Yep. I mean, everyone enjoyed him. Everyone I've heard talk that worked with him, you know, he was just an absolute pleasure to be around. Famously tight with his money and wouldn't stay at the hotels and didn't get rental cars. He had people in every town that he would stay with, like fans, and they would drive him around in their car, and so that he didn't pay for rental cars and stuff like that. So notoriously cheap, but or frugal, I guess is how a nice way to say it. Mm-hmm. But just one of those super nice family guys that, you know, you don't find too much in the wrestling business, especially back then.
Right. So to end on a little bit more of a positive note as well, is let's fast forward. We'll play the what if game here, Justin. A little revisionist booking, I guess we could say. 99, May the 23rd doesn't happen. Owen Hart's still with us. He goes on. He wins titles after title after title. He's not. He retires. Do you see him opening up a school similar to like a Lane Storm? Excuse me.
You know, being a trainer? Who knows? I mean, he would have been a great trainer. But I also know Owen, I think, kind of wanted out of the business and just wanted to be a firefighter, I think. So, and I could completely see Owen doing that just after, you know, after he made enough money and got to, say, 2003 or 4 or 5. And it was about that time. And I think Owen probably just would have went home to Calgary. But who knows? I mean, maybe he would have got the bug back in him. And but I guarantee, if I had to guess, Martha would have wanted him off the road sooner rather than later had he lived. Mm. But who knows?
So we all knew, like you said, he was going to stay, take a step away from the business. He wanted, he was building a house. We all know, we've heard the stories. The one thing that I've always learned following wrestling, being a wrestling fan, as long as I have been along the same lines as you, never say never. And when the wrestling is in your blood, you're never away from it. Maybe it's one of those things that he'd have the Heart Dungeon 2.0 between him and his brother, and him and his brothers, excuse me. Because we know obviously there's more brothers in the Heart family. It's just one of those things where I can see it happening. Is it good? Who knows? We don't know, but we're playing that revisionist booking. We're playing that what if game. But I just think that things would have definitely turned out very, very differently with this wrestling business. Do you think, excuse me, do you think we would have seen Owen make that jump that Brett did over to WCW, or do you think that he was, Owen was, in my opinion, loyal to a fault.
I would say
he was loyal
Owen,
to the guy that brought him in.
I think Owen would have stayed. I think he signed a new contract in 98. Mm-hmm. And WCW was on its dying days, you know, in 2000. And so I don't see him going over there.
Yeah, because I think more than anything, outside of being a wrestler, being a father, being a husband, Owen was a businessman on top of that. As you see a lot of these guys and gals today, whether they be in independence, whether they be in one of the major promotions in the country and across the world, wrestling is a business.
Well, and especially after he had watched Brett get used like shit up there or down there. Mm-hmm. So why would he want to go risk that to himself? Like if they treated Brett like shit, what do you think they're going to do to me? You know, him looking and seeing how they treated Brett and how basically his, you know, getting kind of not used at all at WCW. I'm sure he saw that and was like, eh, I'm good. I'll stay right here. At least these people know how to use me for the most part.
Yeah. So like I said, with that being said, we appreciate everybody that has, tuned in this week to this episode. Obviously, hopefully we'd adjust to the memory of Owen Hart and just hopefully everybody will go back and watch a lot of these matches that Owen has been in, a lot of these promos that he did, a lot of these historic events, these historic times that he was in, and go back and watch them. Seriously, that's all the hopes that I have for the show now is when we go back and do these remembrance that we go back and we remember them for the good, don't remember them for the bad.
Yeah.
And
there's not a lot of bad to remember about Owen Hart. He is truly one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. I named my dog after him. That's how much he means to me. So
there you go.
Owen, we miss you and we love you.
Yeah. So another thing that we love is all you guys interacting with us on social medias, good, bad, indifferent. If you're liking the show, let us know what you're liking. If you're not liking the show, let us know what you're not liking, what we can change to make the show better for you. We're here to make everybody's experience that is listening to the show a positive one. So you can follow us across all your social medias, Twitter, Instagram at underscore ringside rant. You can follow JD at JD 2040, right, JD?
That's right. At JD 2040 and on Twitter, and hit me up and ask us some questions for next week's show, which is WCW Nitro from June 3rd, 1996, 25 years ago, this coming week.
Yeah, so we're looking to hit the ground running, start it on fire, that is. So go over, subscribe to the Ringside Rant across all your major podcasting platforms, as well as the Full Press Coverage Radio Network, the Shining Wizards Network. So big shout out to those two great platforms that we're on. Thank you to the band Ravenscroft for doing a theme song to this podcast. Go over and check out the merchandise store at ringsiderant.whatforapparel.com. Check out the great new merchandise we have over there as well. Thank you for listening this week to the Ringside Rant, and we'll see you next week right here in Ranters Nation.